Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your moderator for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend Michelle Brathwaite. Her voice will be the first you hear when you call 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind today, page 6 of the Nation newspaper, is something that I have been talking about from the time I started to do this program last year, January, and that is the whole notion with this fake news and misinformation and sharing things that are not accurate. The article, which is quite small, I'm a little disappointed that the Nation didn't give it a little bit more, more of a front page or a little bit more of a article, because it's just a few lines. But it says here, stop the fake news. Government is warning residents against spreading fake news on social media. The caution came yesterday in response to a WhatsApp message purported to be about government's coronavirus work policy. And it came in the form of a statement by the Government Information Service. It was false. Now, you see how this can cause panic and confusion. And I'm not quite sure why would anyone do that. The only conclusion I can come to is some severe boredom. And they clearly don't have any issues in their life. Or maybe they do have issues and they're trying to create issues for other people. The other thing that I looked at on the Tuesday paper, the back cover, it's BWA, Better on Leaks. Want to compliment Barbados Water Authority. According to them, they're stating that they're ahead of the game and that they have repaired all of the outstanding leaks in this country, and that any leaks now that you report are new leaks. So, and that they will get to you in a few hours and or 24 hours max, I think it is. So if indeed that is so, kudos to the BWA for making that big step. I'm sure it wasn't an easy one, but because there are hundreds of leaks, and to get them all repaired and bring them up to date now, it's a good thing. In addition to that, I believe that they would have announced, I haven't seen the details on the policy, but it was one I was passionate about, in allowing persons to get a water connection in the absence of title deeds, etc. It takes pretty long to get letters of administration and so on and so forth. And we do know that in order to get water in this country, it must be tied to the landowner. I believe that some of those policies have been relaxed somewhat to allow people to get water. And I think that's a really good step for those who have been waiting for so long. So kudos again to the Barbados Water Authority. So we are going up until 2 o'clock today. Let's hear what's on your mind. It's 8 minutes after 10. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Joanne. This is Glenn Murray.
Hello, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Not too bad, thanks.
I see you're busy, 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 busy.
Well, praise God. Yes. Let's hope that my health...
How are you?
Is there too. I'm more concerned about my health than being busy.
But you have to manage your health too.
And I'm trying.
Your work, manage your health.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm calling a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Mm-hmm. One is something that I talked about mostly with David, the whole question of maintenance of buildings and the issues attached to it, the environment it creates and its impact on people leading. And I say that in the context because I want to know what constitutes. I wonder, is there a set program and protocol that leads towards determining a building
to be sick?
A sick building.
Mm-hmm.
As against one who had environmental issues. If you notice, the circumstance surrounding Parliament buildings, were never deemed sick buildings. They mm-hmm. had environmental issues and they moved out.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because I see now. You remember the geriatric hospital was deemed by some to be a sick building,
mm-hmm.
and they were told to move out of the person. But now I see it must have had a recovery, a massive recovery, because I understand they've moved persons from St. Lucie, older people, into that in order to facilitate the preparations being made for the coronavirus defenses. Mm-hmm. And then they see in the House of Assembly, I think on Tuesday, Wednesday, where there was when they were discussing the SSA headquarters at, in Vaucluse, it was deemed a sick building, largely from what I considered, what is thought was the, a person's experience. A reaction to maybe death mites. They had a reaction. It was made it dub a sick building. I think in the same way that we would rely on the classification of, like, there were, with this coronavirus, people, the authorities were careful to move, right? They had a virus. They had an outbreak. They had an epidemic. And they moved before they called, deemed it a pandemic. So there must be a protocol, a system, a structured, scientific way to do that. And I think I would like to see a similar thing, a similar protocol existing by this. If it doesn't, if it exists, and I don't know about it. But I'd like to think that there's a structured, sequence, scientific-based system that takes into effect, takes into consideration all kinds of facts before you go to a sick building syndrome. And I think that is, in the same way, we rely on the WHO to guide us on the World Health Organization, to guide us in how we manage the coronavirus issue. I think we should also seek to see what those international, either WHO or some of the international bodies, dealing with the environment more directly, what they, how they handle that whole issue, and seek to learn from that. Because I would like, I would hate to think that anybody that the sick building syndrome label haven't been attached to that, what is $28 million at Vaucluse, that then people start talking about demolition or something like that. You know, so I'm saying that let's put a halt to it, to just the doubling and the casual, maybe a fad of deeming things sick, but then let us have a structured approach. So we just step by step, you know what is it. When we reach that point where it has been done, because we've gone through a whole process of declination, let's call an international community, help us if you don't have those features already. And I know in the same way that I have a lot of trust and respect for our health officials in managing the process, like with the coronavirus and other issues in the past. I think once it's put in these public servants' hands, I think, and the protocols are established, I'd like to know that there's a department set aside for that. And I'd like to say that, too, in the same way that the departments and ministries and even businesses are required to have annual financial returns, annual audits of their financial environment. I'd like to think that buildings in future, that they should be, they'll be required to have an environmental audit.
Should not be a joint effort then between the Ministry of Environment and possibly MTWM, maybe,
well,
moving forward?
Could be. What I'm saying, there's a need for it. Whoever takes it on, fine. But I think that it should, we have to be conscious of the same, that we have to maintain our financial environment, our resources and health. We should have a structure. Again, I believe in process and structure. I'm a functionalist by nature, right? And I believe we should have a functional system where in each department, one or two persons could be designated having a response, or a small team, a part of their duties, even if they have to pay them extra for it, that they should be monitoring and noticing, and there should be a form on the computer where you can enter information as an ongoing basis. And so that, and you review it periodically, every week, every month, to see where you are, so you can spot things early and look for any trends that are developing. But I think an environmental audit, they might be able to call it something else, but I think something in that term, like I said, like we've done with the financial audits or whatever audits you do, I think that is something that we should look at, begin to look at.
I think that's a good idea, Glenn. I want to thank you.
Before you go, I was
looking at another article here. I'm just trying to pull it up. Maybe you, knowing that you do a lot of research, I think it was over the last couple of days, was it West Terrace Primary that had the palm trees stolen? Which I think is ridiculous that the children planted these trees. And it's not the first time that they've had plants stolen from the school. I just want to make sure it's West Terrace Primary. So I'm searching.
I remember reading it, but I didn't quite record in my mind what school it was. But they've had an ongoing issue. Mm-hmm. Oh, Westbury. It's Westbury.
Westbury. All right. So just want to let the school know that those trees will be replaced free of charge. I wouldn't say compliments of whom, but it was arranged this morning. So to the students at Westbury, your golden palms will be coming shortly next week. And to the perpetrators, shame on you. And I hope you don't try to take these ones too, but I believe that hopefully the security they improve and or increase the security at the school, because it's not the first time. But just wanted them to know that publicly.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. That's a very responsible reaction for whoever is the person or institution responsible for that redesignation, the replanting or the reallocation, the replenishing then of the golden palms. Mm-hmm. But it really is a reflection on the set of values, or some might say a lack of, that exists in the society, because schools are no longer considered our most sacred institution. But then you have to remember that I regard these as business persons who work on, they operate on the basis of supply and demand. And the person who would have stolen that knows that somebody somewhere somehow would want that and they can get money for it. So you're dealing with that scenario where anything is up for taking, and once there's a market, somebody will seek to
buy. I just think it's sad, though. I mean, I don't condone the stealing, period, but Kadir, it's from children, it's a school.
But the church,
mean, that's like stealing from a church. I don't know how they get that one done either.
Yeah.
But so whoever they are, we're publicly declaring the trees will be replaced. So hopefully the security will be in place. Thanks to the company that I spoke to this morning when I saw the article, they're going to do that. And we can discuss that next week when the time is right.
I want to move on quickly. Two other things quickly. Kites, you know, we've had this problem of this longstanding, almost perennial problem in recent years of kites flying day and night, and calling a noise to persons, particularly at night. And it's often very difficult to track down the source of the kite. And that was really, as I would say when I grew up, really kite was staked out. I'm suggesting that in those instances, I understand there are drones in Barbados. Maybe you can use drones to photograph spots where you can then pass that information on to the authorities, and they would have a better idea of how to pinpoint the possible culprits.
Yeah, but that's still an invasion of privacy, and you still have to be very careful.
How can you care for a kite is in the air, cannot be an invasion of privacy?
No, when you use drones, in other words, it may be used for other things. You still got to get special permission.
No, I'm saying the authorities can do that.
I believe that they have drones already doing that, I would imagine, with the police. I would imagine they do. I thought you meant other people doing
it. No. Okay. I'm saying, I want this again. I believe in process, procedure, and structure.
Mm-hmm.
Let the police or whoever else might use that information then to seek to try to curtail or put the activity, hopefully. But I think that is one way of quite to be difficult. If you say Friday, if you seek your eye just to follow the trail of the cord or the right way to stay, it's difficult to exactly pinpoint. I'm saying a drone can make that more accurate, and that information can be used over a period of time to seek to attack the issue.
Okay, right? Well, we have some WhatsAppers. I want to thank you, agreeing with you on your earlier comments. And always a pleasure to hear from you. Always a pleasure to listen to your ideas, because to me they always make sense. This is
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, it's Joanne. How are you, ma'am?
I am well. What about you?
Oh, well, not so good. I went to the dentist, and I hate dentists, so it takes me a long time to go. I just do not like that place. I going up to a dentist place, and my two knees gone funny, and I have to turn back. But yesterday I make it, you know.
And you got there, okay. So I hope you're keeping out the sun, because you know, according to the Bajans, you hear about the thing called lockjaw.
Yeah, no, that job where you used to pull a teeth and gone outside to work. Who's going to stay home when you got put to work? Huh?
I just wonder if you're familiar with that term, lockjaw, or somebody said you get lockjaw.
I heard about that, but never happened to me.
Good. Well, I wish you a speedy recovery. So tell us today what you want to talk about, now that you can speak, because I know yesterday you probably weren't talking.
Right now, I never take so much painkiller in my life. But anyway, what I'm talking about is the kite tool. It's a nuisance, because especially when you're not feeling well and that buzzing sound over your head and you can't get off to sleep, you know. But it's just children, and, you know, they let the kite out and like to hear it fly. It's a nuisance, but it's happened, you know. What I want to ask you now, remember one time you was on the air, I can't remember which month, so I know it was last year, I think. You pulled up something on the internet to say, yes, there was 9 trucks that was bought by the DLP government. Remember that?
We were talking about the Sanitation Service Authority, and there was a picture in the paper with the Nation newspaper with the then minister confirming that some new trucks were purchased. Yes.
Yes. No. The former Prime Minister, Mr. Ferndale Stewart, the Honorable Mr. Ferndale Stewart, at the meeting in St. Philip, he said the reason why we could not buy any owning any new trucks because they did not have any money. Now, how come they're saying, this side is saying they bought new trucks and the Prime Minister say they didn't buy no new trucks?
Well hold on a minute. I don't know, but I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
If I buy a car
mm-hmm.
and it's not brand new out the showroom
mm-hmm.
and I just bought a car, it's new to me, right? I just bought
a new
car.
We're not talking about the car. We're just talking about...
No, what I'm trying to say is that the trucks probably were new and new to us. I don't know if you're trying to differentiate between it. He might have been saying that they were brand new or maybe they were secondhand trucks.
They didn't come in. They did not come in. They was furbished. That's what I'm saying.
Right, refurbished trucks.
What I'm saying, the Prime Minister should have known if a truck come in because he got to know the money that was being spent. He and the Minister of Finance should know if new trucks did come into the port. Because the trucks cannot come on the plane. They have to come through the port. So if the truck was refurbished in Barbados, then, say that. But don't say new trucks.
And what I'm trying to tell you, Vinnie, I actually purchased, I can tell you, I have furniture in my house. My daughter is, 29? I bought that furniture before she was born, just a couple of months. And I bought it secondhand, and I still have it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I recover it and so on. So for me, but I it's new to me because it's new in my house. So I'm saying that you can buy a car. It is not a new car, but it's new to you. So technically, you got a new car.
It's new to us. It's just like you go and buy a bicycle from someone who got it, and it's my bicycle. It's a new bicycle. But new to me is when it come in.
All right, but to me, I understand what you're saying. For me, I don't know if it was worth splitting hairs over the...
It is worth splitting hairs because people are saying, there's a couple of callers come and said, they bring in new trucks. They never bring in any new trucks.
But did they not have a cost, whether it was new or reconditioned?
But why didn't they say it's refurbished? Because I'm not going to ever talk about this again.
Okay.
Right, never. But if they did say... Oh, they refurbished the truck, they paint up the truck, it was done in Barbados, and it's, it's okay, because anything, you can buy a car and strip it down and fix it back up, and it's better than the new one you get. You understand? But
fair
I'm
enough.
Only saying, do not tell us it's a new truck.
All
it
right.
It was refurbished in Barbados.
No problem. I to me, again, splitting hairs, but I understand your whole concept behind what was said. We'll be back after the break. This WhatsApper here is responding to a comment I made about the Barbados Water Authority putting in place this new policy where it allows individuals who don't have their title deeds, etc., access to a water service. They have to pay deposits, etc. And that was made, I believe that announcement was made in the Wells of Parliament during the estimates. However, this writer is saying, Joanne, the Barbados Water Authority apparently is saying that they've received no such instruction, that they went on Wednesday to get some assistance with this new policy. And they're saying that the young lady on Wednesday stated that they have not received any instructions about this policy. So that person was turned away. So if BWA want to send a message or something to respond to that, certainly we will read it out, or you can call us and let us know what is happening with the policy. A person is here saying that they went and they've been turned back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, could you speak up a little bit? You sound very distant. Your phone.
Good morning.
You need... Yeah, your phone sounds a bit distant. You want to put it a little bit? Go again.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ike.
Yes?
Before I start my thing, first, in the former minister's I believe they should come out and put things on the table. Because you're hearing a lot of fake news, it's better to hear from the former minister. You hear me?
Loud and clear now.
Oh, mm-hmm. From the former minister. Dr. Lowe should be able to come out and defend his portfolio that he had with Prescott. Instead, you hear a lot of fake callers calling in, and then you're going, and if they keep their mouth shut, you will believe that it's true. So the former ministers need to come out and say something. Another thing, the house sound boy Sanders Snead. When you have to say something on the radio, they're coming to attack. They bring nothing to the program, but only just coming to attack you. Mm-hmm. So I will let them boy Sanders Snead to come and say talk about weird issues in Barbados. Another one, Miss Higgs, I wonder for you, is it true that the employer and the old hospital building will be pushed down?
The old hospital building?
Big award out there, out in Bear Street.
You mean the regular hospital on Martindale's Road, or are we talking about something else?
No, the old hospital,
I don't know anything of such. I haven't had any information to say anything about the Empire Building or the old ward or whatever, but I can tell you that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital will be starting their transformation of the hospital next week, and that will start with the renovation and expansion of the accident and emergency department. So Barbadians, stand by for details about that transformation, which I believe will take about 14 months. There's going to be a lot of work happening there, a lot of positive things. And so people should stay tuned. One thing I can say about Barbadians, I find that people support the QEH. I think if people had to pay more money to the QEH and less taxes on something else and it's diverted to the hospital, I believe that people would cooperate. And at some point, as I've always said, that we will either be a patient or a temporary resident at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, whether that be in the wards or in the morgue. So we should support the QEH. So listeners, you can stay tuned to your radio stations to hear about the upgrade and transformation of the accident and emergency at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital during the next couple of days.
Oh, you hear all this rumor about the Empire and the old hospital. Mm-hmm. All right, another one, the SSA building, that new building.
Mm-hmm.
It is obvious, some people call it a sick building. But if the building is not being used, it obviously will have an odor in it.
Well, I don't know.
That when came from the ministry, she went in and she came back out in 10 minutes. It's obvious that if a building
closed up so long,
it will have an odor, and she called it a sick building. I mean, a lot of them have got degrees, but there's some that talk. I don't know.
Well, there's a big difference between a degree and common sense or applied sense. Not everybody has.
I mean that if it shuts up, it will have an order. It will have.
No, but look, I'm sure there has to be more to it, or should be more to it, as Glenn said earlier. There must be a way of knowing, the NIS building is different. You had people working in there, so you had experiences. But what you're saying is that nobody's been in there. Somebody went in and came out. It was closed up. How then do they arrive at that term? I agree with you. How do you arrive at the term where nobody has been in there working? How do you know? How do you know it's just it's not just environmental from what you said? It's been closed up for so long. I don't know, but this is interesting for to hear from those and even the contractors. They would know. I'm sure they would have had to follow some guidelines and do the whole environmental testing afterwards. Again, no clue. So we're just putting those questions out there. What happened?
I believe the Prime Minister should put a hold on this gathering for the time being. Too many people holding off there. I believe they should put a hold on this gathering that she's having around the country.
But it's a ticklish thing. And again, I won't speak to the virus in any detail until we get more information. I think we all know what the World Health Organization knows, how to protect yourself as best as you can. it's a case of following some instructions and hand washing and things that you touch, which, you know, there's a lot of things out there. There's the bank, and there's money, and there's the ATM machine, and there's all these different things, a trolley in a supermarket. And in other words, I think you just practice better hand sanitization, for sure. You can drive with a hand sanitizer in your car. And if you're not well, you know, you stay home and you make contact with doctors and so on and so forth. There's some guidelines that we must follow.
You know, when we had the chicken gun, yeah, we protect ourselves or whatever, and the whole half of Barbados had that chicken gun, yeah. With the sense of this one here, we protecting ourselves too. Barbados is a small country. We mix it among a lot. We are not like U.S. yet, that is a bigger country. So,
but I understand, but don't panic.
I'm not panicking, but I just chose to tell you where the hot chicken gone here. Mm-hmm. Half of Barbados had that chicken gone here. We protect mm-hmm. ourselves, but you still get it in the end.
May I ask you a question? Are you getting yourself familiarized with the information as needed? You're getting accurate information?
Yes,
and you believe you understand what needs to be done?
Yes.
Okay. No, I just asked because I just want to find out if people getting enough information, and you're not one of those people listening to those WhatsApp messages, right?
No, I just don't research my own thing.
From credible sources, I should say.
Yes.
Okay. It is important because I started out the show making reference to the article on page 5 in today's paper where some person went to the extreme of putting out fake news, making it seem as if it was from the government information service about the same virus. And I thought that was such in poor taste. Why do something like that? So it's important that you know, and I'm glad that you know, because you call the program regular, and I'm sure you know the importance of sharing accurate information.
Well, I talk about the shaking hands, dude. Where is that? I believe that nobody should be shaking no hands.
But if you shake hands, why don't you just sanitize after? What do you think about that?
No, I don't think you should be shaking hands at all or hugging the person that's coming from overseas.
Really?
No, because that people
like, but you just told me that you're reading. Okay, but if you're reading the information, why would you want to hold up and hugging anybody from overseas? And is it that you want to wait 2 weeks and tell them to call me in 2 weeks and then I can come visit you type of thing? I mean...
No, that is to inform other person, do not hug or kiss or shake person hands.
Mm-hmm.
That is for other person. I know about that because I say about the shaking hands, whatever, mm-hmm. right? But I just let the public know, do not shake nobody's hands. Because when you're going to shake somebody's hand, you will still catch it too. All that, every time you're going to shake somebody's hand and then take out and use the hand sanitizer.
But there are people who do that. There are people who sanitize their hands a lot.
Yeah, but do not shake the hand for the time being. Yes,
well, I think what is important to note mm-hmm. is to make sure we get the correct information, we follow the instructions. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know people are concerned. I'm concerned, but there's a difference between being concerned and being fearful. There's a thin line, I should say. But the more it's being reported, and we must pay attention to the survival rate, and then who this virus is impacting, and make sure we protect the persons that fall under that category. For example, the elderly, people with somewhat compromised immune systems, people like, you know, I don't want to call it names, but you know, the senior family in your household, you would want to pay special attention to children so far. And again,
all the sick people that sick in Barbados,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to protect them that way that the prime minister or whoever should come out and hold like a conference and mm-hmm. update the people and so on.
But people have been updated. People are, there's more that will be done, I would imagine, and more can be done. But when people like you, for example, when you see you do your research, you can go on the World Health Organization's website. And you can't go wrong with that website. You just cannot go wrong with it. It's reporting everything that's happening in the world, all the cases, what to do, what not to do. And even though people are comparing it to influenza and the flu, and it's true, well, 60,000 people died from the flu alone in 2017, 2018 in the United States alone. This virus is about 80-something thousand people. It's spreading quickly, yes. I think what the concern is...
Cure.
Right. Well, let me just say this. The concern is that the word novel is unknown, and they're trying to find the whole reason behind this happening. Obviously, there must be someone, if that person is living, there's someone called a patient zero, which means it started with someone. So when you had SARS and you had MERS, you know that it possibly went from animal to human being. Similarly, they're trying to figure this one out. Obviously, it made the jump. You know, all around us is full of pathogens. Everywhere we go, there's bacteria, there's fungi, there are viruses. The difference is that our bodies are programmed to pick up these types of viruses and bacteria, and we can fight it off. And there are antibiotics that have been created to counteract some of these bacteria and stuff like that.
My last one.
Let me just finish. This one is just a case of they're trying to figure it out, how it works, so that they can create something to counter it. However, all we have to do, all we need to do, is to follow the instructions as best as we can, not to panic, continue life as usual, but you may have to do some things a little bit different. As you said, you may not hug right now. You may not shake hands right now, but, you know, you may say hi. I saw some video when people were doing a foot bump where they were just tapping each other on the foot just to say hi. So that becomes a foot shake, I guess it's called. But anyway, go ahead with your last point.
I want to know if the tourism industry is hurting from this coronavirus. That's what I wanted.
All right. Well, someone in the know, I believe, will answer that question. I can only share what was on the World Health Organization. I'm certainly not a practitioner to tell anyone anything else other than what I've just read on the World Health Organization site. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Now, if you hear some noise, there's a public address system over on the pastor where there's sports going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're being interrupted, you just let me know.
You call it sports. Okay.
The school sports.
You sure you're nearby school sports? When we hearing all that noise, you sure you're not at a party or?
No, you're primary school sports.
All right.
Now, listen, I listened to Miss Undecided just now, mm-hmm. and she was concerned about what was said concerning the building.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than an order coming from the building. The minister clearly stated that it was, they discovered mold in the building, and one of the floors are without vendors. There's a 5-story building, I think it's supposed to be. So the ventilation was extremely poor, and mm-hmm. other defects as well. So it wasn't only order. It's simply because they had a variety of problems concerning the particular building.
Mm. Well.
No. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead. They said sick. I didn't, maybe sick with some sort of remedy. You know, I have no idea. I don't know if it's been condemned.
No, it's not condemned.
Okay.
So she brought fake news. like she did with Mr. Safri. I listened to Mr. Safri a couple of days ago talking to Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Safri clearly stated that the ladies are separated from the men in the vagrants complex that he has down
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But she came with a different story. But it does not my real point what he called.
Yes, go ahead.
I went somewhere on Wednesday because we are talking about people being concerned or being hysterical about this virus. And I hope the authorities will try and send a much clearer message to the country as far as this virus is concerned. Why you say this? It's because, I been somewhere on Wednesday, a supermarket to be exact, and I saw no fewer than 12 people. They're not Belgians, they're white people. And they all were covered, the face were covered with these masks. And to me, it created a sort of like a panic situation within that environment. And I was wondering if they were authorized or if someone had instructed them to wear these masks. Because even though they were in the complex, they went to the hardware section, the appliance department, and they all was pushing some big boxes. Each one that had a big box pushing as though to buy appliances or some sort of rival from the electrical department. And I was sort of concerned when I see this volume of people, this amount of people wearing these masks. I mean, it looked so strange to me. You see, all of us was wearing a mask, and just about 12 or 14 of them was wearing this mask coming to the supermarket.
And it made you kind of feel uncomfortable.
Exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a different pigmentation than me.
Let's not go there at all.
Okay.
Whatever complexion, race, or whatever, it doesn't matter. So let's take that out of the equation.
Right, okay, no
okay,
problem.
Please. Now, I could understand you, on a regular day, see people walking around with masks and they're not working in a warehouse. You know, like sometimes you would see cleaners and they have on the dust masks or contractors and so on. So I don't know, but obviously some people are putting masks on and as a precautionary measure. It may mean that It may not mean they have the virus. It may mean that they may have a regular cold. It could mean that they don't want to catch anything from anyone. It could mean that they have compromised immune systems and proceeded with caution. It may just be proceeded with caution. You know, I don't know if I can get licks for this statement, but it kind of fails me that I am concerned. I can tell you that I have a daughter who had a pre-existing condition with a heart. Of course I'm concerned. I have a mom doing dialysis, I have the other grandmother not well. Of course you are concerned. I'm paying attention to what needs to be done in the event that, you know, things change, you put plans in place, you have to look at the statistics. Now, I know that we don't want to be in the 2.5%, which is the deaths. It is very low, but nobody wants to be in the low percentage. I get that. But I also think that we gain nothing from panicking. We gain nothing from creating fear. We gain a lot from knowledge, and knowledge is power. So if we can continue getting that knowledge as much as we can, it can relieve some of the panic because we're better prepared. So I'm hoping that sharing this, you know, again, I'm not saying that not to be concerned, and I am too. I'm paying attention to the information. I'm making sure it's accurate information. And that this country, in the event that we have to prepare, that we're all prepared. It doesn't mean that we get away from it. We may have one death, we may have none. There are people who may be walking around in Barbados right now with a very mild case of it, and they survived. It would be good to hear worldwide about the survivors, their experience. And if I were the World Health Organization, I would start communicating that to the world. The 80-something thousand survivors have a story to tell so that people can feel a little bit more at ease. 2,000 and change, all good souls, all valuable souls, but it's in the minority. It's at 2.5%. We need to understand that. We need to get the information. We need not to create this whole thing about whose race is what race. It does not matter. It really doesn't. I mean, I remember when HIV was a thing, people didn't know, people were ignorant. And what really is flooring me, people are creating more of a panic with corona, but then the HIV, nobody wants to wrap it up. People will take a chance having a partner and not protecting themselves, but will not. But treating this whole thing a little bit different, that to me floors me. But we do have to take a break. I want to thank you so much for your contribution. Welcome back. The World Health Organization says, and I agree, this is not a one-way street. We, and all of we can push this virus back. Your actions now will determine the course of the outbreak in your country. So that is not only about the government's actions, it's your actions collectively, so together we can fight back, we can push this back, you know. So I think once we, again, get as much information as possible, we work together and we do as the government says, because the government can only get their information from the World Health Organization. And then, of course, they put their own plans in place. Harrison's point is an area that has been identified in case there is an outbreak, and you're going to be able to treat patients in the north part of the island. And I'm hopeful. I mean, I could be sitting here talking and, you know, I may be one eventually. I don't know. I'm saying that it's okay to be concerned. We all are. To say that you shouldn't be would be wrong to say that. Because if you're not concerned, it means you're not going to care. And if you're not going to care, you're not going to pay attention to what you need to do. So you need to be concerned. You need to get the information, and it must be correct information. And then you follow it. You work with your government. You can give your government ideas and then work together to see how we can push this virus back. We push back SARS. We push back MERS. We push back all Ebola got pushed back years ago. We can do this too. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Hicks.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am well, and you?
Good morning, number two.
I know, man.
You know.
You want to say good morning to number one, but I hope number one listening.
I deal with number two. I deal with number one.
Okay.
But listen, Water Talk is lost. It's Zerbe, and the listeners of Barbie is gained. Let me say what I'm saying. You bring a freshness to this radio, and God really answers prayer. This morning, I told myself I want to hear.
Oh, dear.
Honest to God.
You put that out in the atmosphere, and I get called last minute.
You get called last minute?
Well, no, David couldn't be here. Something came up.
Well, he works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Hague, I don't know if you heard me yesterday discussing called this bottle thing with this supermarket not giving back people the money when they take your money from the bottles. What's your opinion on that?
I didn't read the article, so enlighten me, please. And I didn't hear the discussion yesterday.
A lady called and said that there's some tourists that bought some drinks from a particular establishment.
Mm-hmm.
The establishment took 25 cents for each bottle.
Mm-hmm.
When the tourists carry back the bottles, they tell them that there's no refund. Carry the bottles somewhere else.